Live from the 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Noren. Guys, welcome. This is an expanded version from here on out. We're 10 to 12 every Saturday here on KPHX. And, of course, Breakthrough Sports, Real Hockey Talk, 12 to 2, 4 hours on a Saturday. Joseph, what do you think?
Hey, I'm up early anyway, so why not?
Really? That's the reason? No, it's because this is a great show. Sebastian, am I right about that?
You are correct, and I am also up early.
Oh, that's the reason. Greg, you're not up.
Yeah, I am. Normally I am now. Well, during summertime I'm up early, because it's just hard to sleep in. Wintertime it's a little different. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to tell Dave I'm not ready to talk, though.
Oh, you're not ready?
But I'm trying to do you a favor real quick.
Oh, yeah. The Arena Bowl. Arena Bowl starts. Arena Bowl 26 in Orlando, Florida. The Philadelphia Soul against our own Arizona Rattlers playing. It's probably started just a few minutes ago.
Started right now, yeah.
Yeah, and
we
got
25, though?
No, 25 was last year. 26. Rattlers won 20, Arena Bowl 25. So this is exciting. We're going to have live updates every 30 minutes, live from Orlando, Florida, from Adam Markowitz. Greg, he called in yesterday.
He did.
Nice guy.
I've never heard anyone so knowledgeable at arena football than Adam Markowitz. The passion that he has is amazing for the sport.
It is. Yes. And he interviewed me on his radio show.
Oh, very good.
I'm a celebrity, coast to coast.
Everybody has radio shows.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah, AFL. So, anyway, big show today, huh?
Yeah, Joseph? We're celebrating what?
We're celebrating the fact we have now an expanded version of Breakthrough Entertainment. Am I right?
Yes, we're celebrating that, but we're also celebrating Greg.
Kick ass, too. Look at that. Look at what Joseph has, his little backpack in there. And
really?
I'm looking forward to it because I love the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet, but I plan to do so hopefully by next week.
Yeah, so we'll do our review. We'll do our discussion of it. We have trivia questions throughout the show, and as you heard earlier, we had the theme song from Kick-Ass.
Right? Well, this is good. Now let's bring Adam Markowitz live from Orlando. Adam, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Arena Bowl 26 just kicked off. We're about a minute and a half into the game. Rattlers have gotten the ball first, and they're at the Philly 10-yard line as we speak. So exciting start to the game. Couple long pass plays right off the bat. And Dabble is already 2-for-2 and looking to put the Rattlers on the board first.
Excellent. And so I suspect that the Soul won the toss and they elected to defer. Is that correct?
That they did, correct.
Wow. Adam, thank you so much. We'll talk to you, in about 25 minutes? And
sure.
Great game. Thank you so much for calling in. And we'll have live updates from Adam Markowitz, arenafan.com. Thank you, Adam. Wow, I am excited. I am really excited.
I can hear it in your voice.
Right, Sebastian? I mean, there's not...
See, you're excited about this the way Joseph, myself, and probably Sebastian are excited about, like, Amanda Seyfried.
Not after the movie, though. What was it called? Lace.
Love Lace.
Lace.
The movie might have been a bit boring.
You didn't love Lace?
I didn't like the movie. Well, the first half
dislike Lace.
But not for the same reasons as Joseph. I liked when her clothes came off. I thought that was phenomenal.
Okay. I liked Paige's thoughts on Thursday's show.
We'll talk about it later, Dave.
Amanda Bynes.
No,
she's insane.
That's the crazy one.
Lindsay
Lohan, we talked she's about on Thursday. What?
Why are we talking about crazy people?
She took her
because
clothes
we're
off
all crazy
in the canyons, right? We talked about the canyons. That was
about
that Thursday show?
That was pretty
phenomenal. Live broadcast at Point in Time Restaurant, Tapatio Cliffs Resort. Great place. We had a nice crowd. Maybe 90, 100 people, maybe?
90 to 100. We'll try to spice that up with 90, 100.
That would be 9,000. Okay. So anyway, I know my math.
We gave away some prizes, right?
Yeah, prizes. Interaction page did a great job interacting with the audience out there. 25-foot cords. She was lost in the sea of the crowd at one time.
Yeah, and she got people they knew the number on the Love Bug.
Oh, that 53.
You looked lost there.
Yeah, I was thinking of
You know what's funny about that is that gentleman that answered it correctly. He was kind of watching us and staying back. And everyone else who wanted to come up, join us on air, was excited, enthusiastic. And he was a great guy, no doubt. But, you know, he was sort of calm, quiet, looked like, no, don't get the microphone near me.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know anything. And all of a sudden she puts it on there. Yeah, 53. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
These are her measurements.
So amazing show. And we talked about dealing with idiots on Thursday.
Oh, that was I want to see that movie. You gave it a thumbs down.
I gave that a thumbs down.
I think I'll give it a thumbs up without watching it.
The Canyons was also a thumbs down. And then we had on Soul Survivor. We talked about Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
We interviewed the director of that. That was a thumbs up. And we also talked to the director of Hello Herman, and that was a thumbs up as well. So you can go to breakradioshow.com, click on archives, and you can listen to a rebroadcast of that show.
Yeah, that would be great. Hey, Sebastian, were you able to get the...
I think Greg is working on it.
Okay. I sort of have it, but there's one thing that's holding it up, because I don't like to give my email address.
Well, it's fourth and eight. they were on the 10-yard line, and they blew off some downs, evidently. Richard Obert, our friend from the Republic.
And we'll let Adam update that with us, as the show goes on. But hopefully everything works out well. Again, I said it will be 71-51.
Touchdown, 7-0, Rattlers. Maurice Purify, that's Paige's guy, because he went to the University of Nebraska. Wow, okay. I'm excited. Oh, Mark McClune's there. Wow, everyone's tweeting on this game. This is really good.
Yeah. Then we got opening weekend in the English Premier League, too, for all the soccer
Manchester
fans.
United.
Manchester United right now up 2-0 against Swansea. So
I like that stuff, too. I'm going to get more into soccer. Will you teach me that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know all the rules.
I really had a big liking to Manchester United when I saw the movie Euro Trip and the Manchester United fan base. You know, Vinnie Jones. Yeah! You know,
it's pretty funny because Vinnie Jones used to play for Leeds.
Which
is one of the biggest rivals.
Oh,
Manchester United. If you
and that makes it even funnier now. Yeah, to know that.
Ever hear of the group Kiss?
Yes.
They own AFL
really
team now.
That?
LA Kiss. Oh, did you just say that?
No. Oh. I mean, of course he knows who Kiss is.
Oh, I don't mean on a date.
Ah, Dave.
All right. Anyway, back to Joseph. This is a Breakthrough Entertainment, but we're so
a little
excited.
Early still.
Arena Bowl 26 is an exciting event.
We all
okay.
Wake up early.
Where are
so,
we?
So at around 11:07, we're going to hear from our special guest, actress Kira Zagorski. She will be talking about her new film, short film, Chained, which is screening August 22nd at the Action on Film International Film Festival. So it's nominated for 6 awards. So we'll talk a little more about that. And then the movies that we're featuring today, of course, as I said, Kick-Ass 2, and which we'll talk about in just a few moments. We'll also talk about Jobs in our next hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit later on in the show, we will talk about Lee Daniels' The Butler.
Yeah. I saw that trailer.
You saw the trailer?
Looked darn good.
Okay.
I got to tell you.
So we'll talk about all those. We'll have some TV talk. We'll do some news or false. And we've got a special segment to end out the show.
That Ooh. I don't even know about. Greg doesn't know about. Ooh. Sebastian nor Eric.
Amanda
we don't
Seyfried
know about this.
Will be joining us.
Oh, really? Live in person?
No, I really don't know the segment.
Yeah, okay.
No,
oh,
I think Lindsay Lohan.
I thought you did.
Eric, stay
you
tuned for Lindsay time. Lohan. She may be walking in any time.
95% of what we talked about, I probably remembered. But I might have forgotten this one thing. Sorry.
It's something
that.
To look forward to. But anyway, so and of course, like I said, we've got Kick-Ass music throughout the show. From the soundtrack.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the theme song earlier
Absolutely.
On.
Oh, I didn't know
and,
that.
And then we've got Kick-Ass trivia throughout the show as well.
I thought you were going to say Kick-Ass triple.
And of course, for you, Dave, the main character, of course, in Kick-Ass, his first name is Dave in the movie as well.
Oh, then yeah. I'm a superhero. Or,
yeah, absolutely.
So you we'll see if you
win
the trivia
today. A little weight discrepancy, but yeah.
And,
wow.
And of course, Eric kind of messed up last week. He didn't win our trivia game last week. So
I will make up for that today.
He will.
I think Eric won
soon.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, he always.
Last week
was a one-time.
I have Google
thing.
And I'm going to use it.
Yes, because I'm ready to go now. Sorry,
because he didn't know because you weren't here, Dave, last week, and so he didn't know what to not say. So he was just answering the answers that you would have said anyway.
Oh, so I would have lost.
He threw him up.
Give me some more credit than that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's talk about Kick-Ass 2. Aaron Taylor Johnson reprises his role as a costumed high school hero who joins with a group of normal citizens that have been inspired to fight crime. Chloe Grace Moretz and Christopher Mintz-Plasse also reprise their roles while Jim Carrey joins the cast. Greg, you're pretty excited about this movie because you love the first one, right?
Absolutely. The first one was amazing. It was funny, action, all the good stuff. Great actors in there. Just phenomenal. Yeah. Everything you look for in a movie. And you know, and if you're, I'm not a huge superhero fan. I mean, I love Batman, those type of things. So obviously, this is a little different scenario on it. But it's funny because obviously the fantasy that's in there with this Dave becoming a superhero known as Kick-Ass. It is basically amazing with how realistic, though, they make this compared to the other, you know, because obviously the other one's comic books. And, yeah, this may come from that, too. But there's something different about it. But that humor, because it's a comedy, I just loved it. Probably one of the top 5-10 movies on my list.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well,
of all time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, Very good movie.
I love the original Kick-Ass as well. You know, so, you know, and it's scary when they make a sequel to one of these movies that's really, really good. You're like, is it going to be, you know, as good as
I
that?
I think I like where this is going, though.
You can hear it in my voice. This is better than the original.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Well, it does have Chuck Liddell playing himself in it, too.
Yeah, see, just that alone.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know, because it not only possesses exceptional entertainment value, but, you know, here's what we like here on Breakthrough Entertainment. It also possesses a surprisingly strong moral fiber, which, you know, you wouldn't expect a movie about a bunch of guys who, you know, fight crime and basically vigilantes.
Absolutely.
And now, the first one had a lot of gunfire and stuff like that with Chloe Grace Moretz. There's less of the guns in this movie.
More hand
The bad movement. Guys have the guns.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's more of the hand-to-hand combat and, you know, more unique stuff. You know,
absolutely.
So, and of course, Jim Carrey's character has a gun, but he does not, it's not loaded.
Right.
So, he says, you know, no one's going to mess with you if you look like you have a gun.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, so it's not loaded.
Yeah.
But, so he never has to use it. But, so, of course, and by the way, Jim Carrey is excellent in this movie.
Yeah.
I was speaking with Sebastian earlier.
Good.
I was kind of disappointed with him earlier this year in Burt Wonderstone.
I didn't see that yet, but I heard, I remember you told us that, but others had also said
It wasn't just him. It was the whole film.
Well, right, very true, yeah. So, you know, maybe that's why this works is that...
Can kind of be his comeback in a way, hopefully, especially with probably another Dumb and Dumber coming in the next couple years.
Yes. Can't wait for that. And so, you know, this like I said, is better than the action-packed predecessor. There's so much action in this movie. It may just look like a bunch of violence and vigilantism, but it's actually a shrewdly delivered cinematic message about using one's pain as a force for good. You know, like I said, it's fantastically fun. It's a really frenzied film.
Yeah.
And it avoids the trappings of tawdry motion pictures whose sole purpose is to amuse audiences, you know.
And you can never go wrong with Christopher Mintz-Plasse, of course.
Yes.
Who plays a villain, the mother lover, as we'll say on the air here. Yeah.
Mother McLovin.
Well, yeah, we'll call Mother McLovin. That's what we'll say.
Very
McLovin.
Yeah.
We can't say that. We can't say a few of the characters on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's always great with whatever he's in, obviously, with McLovin. But it's interesting because he's known as that still, but now with a role like this, you know, and in the first one he was great, obviously, Red Mist, but... you know, he's a funny kid.
Yeah, but he'll always be McLovin.
He will always be McLovin. It's amazing that he's been able now to get into some of these other characters like this, where now I'm sure after I see this, I'll be like, yeah, the mother lover, you know, Mother McLovin. Okay, I guess still McLovin.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when I'm looking over the supporting cast, it looks really good. I mean, we got, you know, John Leguizamo is in this.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Donald, how do you say his last name?
Faison.
Faison?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was... I love him from Scrubs.
Yeah, so. And they all don't have superheroes. I mean, they act like they... Mm-hmm. I mean, superpowers. They act like they have these superpowers, but they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what's, you know, funny about it, but it's also what's real about it. Mm-hmm. And and then you've also got Chloe Grace Moretz. I mean, at the time, she was supposed to be 11 years old.
Now she's
entering high school or something.
And I think, and we talked about that when in the past we've talked about the first Kick-Ass, is that film was made maybe 2 or 3 years before it actually was released, I believe.
Right.
And so that's why people will say, hey, this has only been a few years. Why is she so much older?
Yes.
And that's
she looks a lot older
here. Yeah.
And, you know, her storyline is excellent as well because, you know, you got her going to high school and these girls are kind of making fun of her. And, of course, she's Hit Girl.
She'll knock them all out.
Yeah. They don't realize that Big Daddy gave her some, of course, Nicolas Cage gave her some weapons.
Absolutely.
You know. So who's her daddy?
Nicolas Cage.
Okay. I just said that.
Yeah.
She's great.
I said it in a different way. You said Big Daddy. I said, who's her daddy?
She's great on 30 Rock. Do you ever watch that?
No.
Oh, isn't my God. That
that's one of the funniest shows ever.
Who is that guy?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin's like great. Guy. He's great on that show. They're all great on that show.
Yeah,
that was
but
a great show.
She's particularly great too because she's like Jack's nemesis, which is Alec Baldwin, and she's just a little kid.
Oh. she's what we call, even though she's not even up and coming anymore because she's already basically get that household name. I mean, a lot of, you know, everyone's starting to know about her. I know even on IMDb, I believe if you look up their popularity list, I think she's in the top three. It's just amazing the career that she has coming because as a kid she was great, and now she's holding her own as a teenager. We'll see her in Carrie whenever they decide to release that.
In October sometime.
Towards Halloween. You know, let us have some fun there. She's just amazing.
Yeah. And Dave, so here's the theme.
Yes.
The real meaning of being a superhero is turning your pain into something good, something right. What say you?
Well, there's no doubt about it. In life in general, anytime you can turn your pain into something good, right, or for the benefit of others is a good thing. A lot of people just feel sorry for themselves, but people should change their state of mind, take action immediately. Someone punches, you punch harder, just metaphorically, of course. But you always have to observe, be aware, and go forward towards what you want. When you think you can't do anything else to correct the situation, think again. There is always a way. These superheroes, I haven't seen the movie. I didn't even see the first one. But that's the attitude of a superhero. There is a way, and they have confidence because they're a superhero. But develop confidence, and you can be a superhero in your own life.
Yeah, and you've got to, you know, sometimes it's very challenging to overcome these tragedies and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You've got to turn that tragedy into a good thing. It might be very, very difficult for you to try to, you know, comprehend that when you were in the midst of the tragedy and grieving maybe. But all you have to do is just restructure that in your mind and say this terrible thing happened for a reason. What is that reason?
Exactly. In NLP, they call that a reframe. So what is the most empowering state I can have rather than feeling sorry for yourself? I mean, if you start to do that, you can change it in an instant. It's an attitude. It's like a muscle. You got to practice, but practice starting today. What else could this event mean? Reinterpret it to the most empowering state. Your life will change.
And of course, if you have that, you know, that passion, because, you know, whether it's vengeance or whatever, you know, if you're a superhero or vigilante, you have that, you know, drive to actually make those good things happen as opposed to, you know, a negative force.
That's right. And I suspect people see the highest level of good that drives them, motivates them, rather than the petty little stuff that people usually focus on in their life. Look at the highest level. Why are you here? Look at something, as Tony Robbins would say, the big reasons for doing something, the big whys. Find that big why for doing something. That's half the battle, probably 80% of the battle. That will drive your motivation so you can accomplish anything and everything that you ever desired.
Good way to put it. Now, let's do one of our first kick-ass trivia question,
okay?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Even though I didn't see any of the movies?
I might let Dave in on something real quick, because I know you haven't seen the first one.
Yeah.
You told me last night, though, this you really want to see this one.
The trailer is really funny, I got to tell you.
Because of some stuff that happened in the first one, you know, especially with the Mother McLovin's character.
Yeah.
Seeing the second one, do you think Dave absolutely has to see the first one, or could he go into this and like it and kind of catch on with what's going on?
I think he can catch on from what's going on. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you know, there are certain things, like you said, that happened with his character was Red Mist in the first one. Certain things happen that, you know, Red Mist turns into this other, you know, he was
character.
Supposed to be a, he was supposed to be a superhero. Now he's a supervillain.
Yeah.
Oh.
And how his costume, by the way, I don't know if you know the source of his costume. In this movie.
I don't.
Okay, that's one of the funniest things in the movie, how he developed his costume, what his costume is made out of. it's quite unique.
Interesting.
Yes, and you might have this at home that you can make your own costume with. I don't want to know,
probably
though.
His sidekick.
Toilet paper?
No.
That's what I was going to say.
It's something else. But anyway, you'll get that if you see the movie. All right, so which of the following statements is true of the first Kick-Ass? A, it was extremely easy for director Matthew Vaughn to get the film greenlit and funded as there were three separate studios contending to produce the project. B, after being rejected by every studio he approached, director Matthew Vaughn raised the film's budget at a dinner party and made the movie independently. Or C, Universal Studios greenlit the film without hesitation but later second-guessed their decision when director Matthew Vaughn went way over his production budget.
C.
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 Wow.
Sí, señor. I'd probably say that because I know there was some issues with the first one. When that's why it took so long for it to get made. I'm going to go with C. I'll join the pack. If it's not C, it's A, but I'll say C.
No, it's B if it's not C.
This is not Gore Verbinski. The answer is B. Vaughn ultimately sold the movie to Universal for way more than he had originally asked them for. Ah. You know, he raised the film's budget at a dinner party and made the movie independently. And that's when then he basically sold it to the studio.
That's
interesting. I got to go to some of his dinner parties.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So that, with Matthew Vaughn.
Can we do a remote broadcast?
Yeah,
at the dinner party?
Absolutely. Okay. Why not?
Well, why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we'll talk more Breakthrough Entertainment. And, of course, in about 6 minutes.
7-7.
The what?
7-7.
I know. It's 7-7 right now. And we'll have Adam Markowitz, ArenaFan.com, calling in about 6 minutes for another update, Arena Bowl 26 in Orlando. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale,
Scottsdale. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here live, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Norn. As far as I know, it's still 7-7, Arena Bowl 26. We're going to have a live update in about 2 minutes from our own Adam Markowitz in Orlando. We just reviewed Kick A.
Careful there. Kick Ass 2. We can say Kick Ass 2.
Oh, yeah.
We just
okay.
can't say Christopher Mintz Plasse's character's name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we are
McLovin.
Calling him
I said it. McLovin.
The Mother McLovin.
Yes.
Oh, Mother.
Sebastian is right. He'll always be known as McLovin, but some of these other characters he's taken on, you know, it's like, hey, this guy is funny everywhere.
And we've got a quiz.
Going on here?
We're doing trivia and music throughout the show from Kick Ass.
That reminds me is when Eric says it, because it's funny, because if you don't see the title and let's say a little kid just sees the poster, they go, ooh.
Yeah, Chris.
And the story I told you about when I was a senior in high school and I worked at Hollywood Video, I don't know if I said this on the air, but I'll say it now very quickly before we get to that, is that this little kid and his mom come up. I want this movie, Mama. And it was in the family section, and they bring it up, and it's a fairy tale porno movie that somehow got in the family section. So this little kid's all, yeah.
I put it
and
down.
So the store manager goes, come on, Greg, let's go in the back.
I used to work for Blockbuster Video, and we didn't have the pornos.
Yeah. This must have been one of those Skinamax types or something that they did. It was pretty interesting.
Well, I did see a photo posted from a theater in Utah.
Uh-huh.
Where they covered so it just
really?
Says kick, kick two.
Ugh.
Yep.
Kick two.
Those Italians.
Yep.
Excellent. Oh, I think we're about to have a live update again from Orlando, Florida. Adam, how are you? Are you out there still?
Yeah, we're still out here. First quarter just ended in Arena Bowl 26. Both teams scored touchdowns. On their opening possession, Ryan McDaniel scored for the Soul, and it was Maurice Purifine who scored for the Arizona Rattlers. But both quarterbacks looked shaky in the second drive. Nick Cavillo was picked off by Rayshon Kaiser, and Soul had the chance to take their first lead of the game, but they were intercepted on fourth down on the very next drive. It was Virgil Gray who got that pick. The Rattlers have the ball right now to start the second quarter on their own 23, and they're hoping to drive to take the lead back here in the Arena Bowl.
Wow, very good. Thank you so much, Adam. We'll talk to you in another 30 minutes, and enjoy the game.
Thanks a lot.
All right, and that's Adam Markowitz, ArenaFan.com, here on 1480 AM. Live updates every 30 minutes from Arena Bowl 26. Joseph, back to you.
Exciting stuff here. Now we're
very exciting.
We're going to do another trivia here in a second for Kick-Ass. But now we're going to talk TV. TV talk. New segment here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Ooh, okay.
So if anyone, we're going to talk about our favorite summer TV shows. The TV shows that air during the summer. We're each going to give our picks. But what number, if someone wants to join the conversation, what number can they call?
Call in 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480, as in 1480 AM.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear what our listeners watch during the summer. But you know, as again we're celebrating. We're celebrating Kick-Ass 2. And so here's another trivia question. The score is tied. Everyone's got zero. Which of the following accurately describes the origin of Christopher Mintz-Plasse's character's nickname, Red Mist? A. It comes from a UK term for losing one's temper. B. It comes from an Irish term for a pain in one's behind. Or C. It comes from an Australian term for going utterly and completely insane.
B.
C.
B.
C.
What did Eric say?
B.
Everyone
so three
says B.
B's and
I
one
said,
C.
No, I said C.
B said
the
C.
Answer is A. It comes from a UK term for losing one's temper. It usually is used as seeing the red mist or the red mist descends on you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
He got us there.
What's going on here?
I don't know. So everyone's tied still.
Joseph
so
made up
game.
Some really good fake question answers.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Those are good.
All right. So TV talk. Who wants to kick it off? Who has a favorite TV show that they watch during the summer?
Okay, well, I can start.
Go ahead.
This summer, Sebastian? They started showing The Bridge.
The Bridge? Okay.
Which is a remake of a Swedish-Danish show, which I really liked. So I've started to watch the American/Mexican version here.
Yeah.
And, so far it's pretty good, actually.
Good lead actor in that. I know when Greg likes the lead actor in that, right? Who's
don't remember his name.
Yeah, you mentioned him on a previous show.
In The Bridge?
Yeah, in The Bridge.
Oh, okay.
He's in a better life and stuff like that.
I will find out. Oh, yeah Damien Bichir.
Yes.
Oh, he's in Weeds. A great guy.
Yeah,
he's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
He can do everything. Funny, kind of tough guy. Or, in Weeds, his character, of course, kind of... even though he was a mafia, but kind of a crime boss type of guy. But he was serious, but also the humor was put in there perfectly. I don't know if anyone could have played the role the way he did.
Okay. And do we know when The Bridge plays and airs in case we want our listeners to tune in?
We interrupt this for breaking news. 14-7, Rattlers take the lead. Go ahead, Greg.
Great. Okay.
It's on FX, right?
Yeah, appears so. And, let's see. Let's bring up one that's on. That's a good question.
Dave,
what
do you...
The Bridge. Yeah. When are you on? The Bridge.
Oh, my TV stuff?
Yeah, while he looks that up, Dave,
all right,
what
well,
do you watch?
I don't really watch TV, but FX. I do watch a couple things.
Wednesdays
that,
at 10.
Okay, yep. Wednesdays at 10 FX.
All right, but I don't really watch TV much. However, there are shows that play during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's one rerun that I love, one of my favorite sitcoms of all time, and sort of a political show that I watch. The rerun... is Married with Children. I love that show.
Political show.
No, that's a sitcom. I said there's two
Dave's
of them.
Random Enlightenment.
And then Morning Joe I watch, MSNBC. Eric, I bet you have seen that show. Am I right?
I'm not up that early.
Oh, yeah, it is early. Yeah.
When does Morning Joe play?
Three in the morning.
Three in the morning, what channel?
MSNBC.
All right.
But it's really cool. It's a nice political show, and Ed Schultz used to be on, well, I think he still is on Saturdays on MSNBC. And of course, he's, I believe, on this station as well during the week. Is that right, Eric?
That's correct.
Yay! Absolutely. Okay.
You mentioned Married with Children.
Love
always
that.
Been one of my favorite shows. Family Guy's one of my favorites. But a show that's, and Family Guy, obviously, is still around, but the summer shows are reruns. The new season starts, I believe, September 29th. But a show that's live right now, not live, but of course no reruns in the actual season 8, the final season of Dexter, which of course airs on Showtime every night at 9 o'clock Pacific time. When the time changes, it would go to 10, but I think the show actually will be done before the time change comes into play. So, but check it out if you haven't before. Check out the previous seasons. Great show, of course. Dexter...
great show.
He's a psychopath, basically, as they would say. There's a code that he follows.
He's a sociopath.
Well, sociopath.
He
sees
the red mist.
But he's slowly becoming like a normal human.
He is, and that's what's been amazing. And I won't give much away, but of course, the code that he follows is yes, he has the urge to kill people, but he only kills the bad guys. Doesn't harm innocent people, and a lot of twists and turns have come over the years. Thus far this season, it's interesting. Usually it hasn't been a summer show. Usually the seasons begin in early October. This year, the final season, it started on June 30th, so we only have, I believe, 5 episodes left. I've liked this season thus far, except I think we're going to see a lot of intense action coming up soon because there's nothing thus far that's indicated that this is it. But we know this is the last season. So I'm assuming the last 4 or 5 episodes, we're going to start to see a lot of stuff start to tie in quickly. And we might see, 10 storylines go down just like that. And so, again, if you haven't checked out Dexter, probably don't start watching season 8 the way I am now. But if you have In Demand with Cox or any of your satellite networks, you can go back. Or, Netflix.
Amazon, On Demand, and Hulu, I think.
Absolutely. All the good stuff there. Yeah. And so You definitely got to check it out from season one, which is one of the best seasons probably in any TV show history. But a tremendous show. Michael C. Hall, great actor, just perfect as Dexter.
Yeah, and Eric, I know that you have a favorite summer show. You were telling me about it last week.
Yeah, and I just mentioned it a minute ago, Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is by far the best television show I've ever seen. And it's exactly the opposite of Dexter. It's about a mild-mannered dude who turns into a psychopath, a sociopath.
Right.
But you got to watch that. If you haven't seen that, you're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you know what? I tried to watch like Mad Men after that.
Yeah.
And nothing compares. I couldn't even. it was like boredom.
Wow. and do you know when that airs for our listeners?
Breaking Bad's on the last seven shows. And that's the end of the season for them, too.
Yeah.
The end of the series. Sunday.
Sunday's? Okay.
I think it's at like 9.
Excellent. And my favorite summer show is Big Brother.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I love Big Brother. Ooh. I've watched
that's
it from the beginning.
On.
Yeah, it's still on.
Really?
And I'm starting to feel old because I can remember when I was a kid and I was watching the first few seasons.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, now, I mean, it's a great season they've got on. And, of course, it's on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. And they've got some racist cast members, which is creating a lot of controversy. They have to have a little disclaimer on before the show starts. You know, this is not the views of CBS. These are
Dick
contestants.
Dick Cheney's on the show?
The female version, the hot female version of Dick Cheney.
Cheney?
Yes.
How could you put hot female version of Dick Cheney? It can't be hot.
You'll see. She's very cute, and then she opens her mouth.
No.
If
you're the twin of Dick Cheney, you can never be cute, even if you're cute. Am I right, Eric?
Does she have a shotgun?
Yeah, exactly. Did he shoot her with a shotgun?
I bet that some of the minority cast members wish that they had shotguns in the house. But I think she lost her job in real life because of these things that she said on the show and everything.
Really?
But it's a lot of fun to watch this to watch Big Brother again. It's a great season. If you're a fan of Big Brother, you're going to want to tune in because Rachel's sister, I don't remember her last name, but Brendan and Rachel, one of the power couples on a previous season, her sister is on the show. She's very attractive and she has absolutely no brain in her head. But that's.
Whoa.
You know,
that's how it works.
Yeah, now you're going to get us in trouble.
I would say this, though, actually, with Big Brother and stuff, I never watched it when it came on. I never watched Survivor or any of those things. But it does bring me back to, like, the high school time or middle school time when those shows first came on. And everyone's like, oh, Survivor, Big Brother, you know, these reality shows.
Survivor, Swedish concept, actually.
Oh, really?
Is it really?
Interesting.
I think Big Brother might have been as well in the first.
Maybe.
I think it was. But, you know, so it's come a very long way.
Have you guys ever seen those ghost shows, the one with that Zach guy that like, wears his affliction and, you know, he's always walking around. He's like the ghost hunter guy. Him and his two buddies go. There was one that was pretty cool because they had Kane Hodder, the guy who plays Jason in a couple of the Friday the 13th films, who also is sort of a ghost hunter as a hobby. He goes around doing his thing out there in L.A., whenever they go to commercial break, they show like something scary is about to happen. And I always remember, it's TV PG, so there's probably not going to be anything scary or anything. But still, it's interesting. But then when they come back, it's like the thing doesn't even happen. It's like, why watch this? I mean, I don't watch it, but the one episode I did watch, and then I went online and was joking around with people about that. Like, man, how do these shows still make it? Because I've heard this has been on for like 5 or 6 years or something like that.
Yeah. So a lot of great shows that we talked about today, and we'll talk more TV next Saturday.
Yeah.
But, again, the score is tied. We're celebrating Kick-Ass 2. Here's another trivia question. Ready?
Yes. I'm going to get this one, guys.
Which of the following characters was initially conceived to be only a minor role in Kick-Ass until comic book creator Mark Miller saw what the actor was capable of? A, Hit Girl. Of course, that's Chloe Grace Moretz.
Wait, repeat the question.
Which of the following characters was initially conceived to be only a minor role in Kick-Ass until comic book creator Mark Miller saw what the actor was capable of? A, Hit Girl, Chloe Grace Moretz. B, Red Mist, Chris Vermin's Place. Or C, Big Daddy, Nicolas Cage.
Big Daddy.
Red Mist.
Chloe.
B.
Oh, boy.
A. Oh, no, I'm going to go A.
You're going to go A?
Yeah.
So okay, then I'm going to go B.
I'm going to go with Red Mist.
Red Mist.
Okay, so we have two Red Mists.
And Eric, are you A?
I'm going A, Chloe.
I'm going A, Chloe.
The answer is Red Mist.
What?
Miller said the idea
of
McLovin.
How much did you pay him?
The idea of McLovin and the fun Red Mist doing something horrible is genuinely quite disturbing when you see it happen. We couldn't have gotten away with that with another actor. The minute we saw his performance, we were looking at each other and realized how good he was and what we could do with him in the future. And, of course, they did something different with him in
really
this season.
Yes, forward. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. So, and
all right.
After the break, we will talk about Lee Daniels, the butler.
Oh, that looked Lee like Daniels. A good trailer, I've got to tell you. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment live here in 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And we are doing live updates about 17 minutes. We'll have Adam Markowitz calling in again from Orlando Arena Bowl 26, where I believe it's tied right now. I think the Soldiers scored, and we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times. Get that feeling when I watch it go. I can
watch for days. Let's take it slow. She got that rhythm. She got that bounce. When she moves her thing, when she walks out, all the girls get jealous. All the guys want more. When the lights go down, she hits the floor, she likes to die.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Noren. Of course, stay tuned about 12 minutes live from Arena Bowl 26 in Orlando. Our own Adam Markowitz will report in, see how it's going with the Rattlers against the Philadelphia. So we're doing some entertainment. Of course, at 12, we will be doing Real Hockey Talk, and then 1 o'clock, Breakthrough Sports. Joseph, back to you.
All right, so we have a score finally. Sebastian has one and Greg has one. Dave and Eric has zero. All right, so here's another question for you. Of course, we're celebrating Kick-Ass. Before ultimately being cast as Red Mist, which role did Christopher Mintz-Plasse first audition for? A, Kick-Ass. B, Kick-Ass's friend Marty Eisenberg. Or C, no one, he never auditioned and was instead hired as Red Mist on the spot.
On the spot.
Yeah, he was hired on the spot.
B.
You think this is friend Marty? Is Marty the friend played by Cliff Duke?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
No, I would have thought it would have been the other guy. So I am going to say C then, on the spot.
All right, no one gets it. We auditioned for Kick-Ass. The audition, the producers believed that his acting was too loud and obnoxious for the lead, so they immediately gave Mintz-Plasse the role of Red Mist instead.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, how does a male have a hyphenated last name?
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. We'll have to get him on the air.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, what's going on?
Hey, let's say that to Oliver Ekman-Larsen when he comes in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Lee Daniels, the butler. I know that Dave said this looked good to him. Forrest Whitaker portrays a White House butler who served 8 American presidents over 3 decades. Other stars include Robin Williams, John Cusack, Alan Rickman, James Marsden, and Liev Schreiber. They all play presidents, and of course you've got Cuba Gooding Jr. in this film as well, Terrence Howard, Oprah Winfrey, a lot of different actors in this movie, and of course it is inspired on by a true story. There is really a butler who served 8 American presidents over 3 decades. Dave, what looked good about this to you?
The butler. Well, I did see the trailer, and it just looked like a nice social commentary about the evolution over the over the decades and maybe spanning a generation. I didn't see the movie, but it looked something of value, how maybe things have progressed, how the, bringing out that we never want situations where it's unjust for people. And it seemed like that's what this movie's about. I did not, like I said, I didn't see the movie, but I did see the trailer. So I really enjoyed that part of it, in that anytime you can make a social commentary to improve the world, improve society, improve relationships among people, that's always a good thing.
Okay.
I have to say, looking at some of this, a few things. When I think of the butler, I automatically think of Jeffrey Butler, of course, from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Second of all, Forrest Whitaker, great actor. Actually, this morning when I woke up, I was watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High, of course, one of his first roles when he was a youngster. And this actually looks very interesting. And as he says, star-studded cast. It's something I'd be interested in taking a look at.
John Cusack.
Yeah, John Cusack. So many people in this one.
Great,
as well.
Great. Did we go over the theme yet?
No. I haven't even reviewed it yet.
Oh, and for Dave, he might like this, of course, because Alex Pettyfer is in it, who, of course, is in Dave's favorite Channing Tatum film, Mike. He's Magic Mike's friend, the younger guy.
Yeah. Oh, I never really saw the whole thing.
Well, he's the main character.
He was also in I Am Number 4.
I just saw Magic. I didn't see the Mike.
That's a little scary, Dave.
McLovin. Yeah.
Wow. Someone please take him out of here.
All right. So
also Clarence Williams III.
Did you get it on TV yet, Greg?
No. From the Mod Squad.
We're not doing
Mod Squad. That's right. Yeah.
And all right, so this movie, Lee Daniels, the butler, not only takes its viewers on a historical tour de force, it also takes them on an incredibly inspiring journey through more life-affirming themes than you can count. You know, we'll go over a couple of one of the main ones, but you know, you could say it's all about seizing each and every single solitary day, wearing multiple masks in order to survive, especially you know African Americans, and you know, so it's a really deep drama. But it's also got these excellent performances. As you said, you know, Forest Whitaker does a terrific job. And all these actors playing these presidents, it almost feels kind of like a novelty at some point. But you know, especially because you have so many of them. But my favorite of the performances of the presidents were James Marsden and as John F. Kennedy. I thought he was spot on in this.
Wow.
Really?
He was excellent. He was
James
excellent.
Mars?
I can't see that.
He was excellent. And even better than that, it was Alan Rickman as Ronald Reagan. You know, when you see this, you're going to think that it's Ronald Reagan. It is amazing what Alan
really?
Rickman can do with this.
How many presidents did this span? Like, who was the most recent they had?
Well, they
I think 14, right?
Reagan was the most recent.
No, 8. I'm sorry.
There was
for this
8
film,
American
though.
Presidents.
Yeah.
That's how long he served, but I don't remember how many they portrayed, but they bring it all the way up through Obama. We don't see Obama, at least an actor playing Obama, but you could tell how, you know, if it's about
the
racial thing.
Oh, but
the
last actor
Alan Rickman Reagan.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Jane Fonda looks pretty spot on as what's her name?
She does a
Nancy
great job,
Reagan.
Yes, and you know, Mrs. Kennedy, she was great as well. I forget the actress who played her, but she was, you know, excellent as well.
Monica Lewinsky really did a sensational job as Monica Lewinsky.
This is your life story, I guess, huh? Is that what, your own film that you made at home with her?
Yes.
I don't want to know, Mr. Magic Mike.
Monica makes a very good humidor.
Yeah, it was America's Funniest Visitor Videos.
You know what's funny is we always give him a hard time, but Bill Clinton is probably our favorite president.
I agree. Yeah.
And probably the best president we've had, you know, in a long, long time.
I agree with that.
What'd you say, so, Eric? Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I like Clinton.
Oh yeah.
He was great.
No doubt.
I forgive him for his... misdoings.
I'm sure all presidents do a little of that. It's like
come on, Kennedy did it too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah,
Marilyn
was
Monroe
good too. I think the more you like stray from your wife, the better you are as a president. Apparently.
And look at that gap tooth between Condoleezza Rice's teeth. I'm sure George W. Got in there. So come on now.
Wow.
Ouch.
That's terrible. We're gonna get bleeped for that, but not for Kick-Ass. All right.
I didn't believe it.
And for the theme for this movie, this is a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., but this is the theme. It starts off the film, and throughout the film, throughout the entire Lee Daniels, the butler, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Tell us about that, Dave.
Well, there's no doubt about it. When you shed light onto something, you can see the truth. And you've heard that. It's a cliche. And when you shed light on something, turn on the lights in a dark room, and what happens? You can see the room.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy stuff. So each day when the sun comes out is a new day to explore, see, and find your way. That's what life's about if you think about it. See the truth, find your way back. And that's where people maybe look through the filters of darkness, and it's maybe based on their own state of mind, how they feel about themselves, low self-esteem. That keeps negativity locked in and locked into the dark, because in the dark you can't see much. But when you turn on the lights, that means turn on a different state of mind. You turn on what's possible. Guess what? You can absolutely see many more things. Things that can improve society. That's what we want. That's what I'm hoping the butler's about, is more awareness and really do what's right in the world, not what's wrong.
Well, you know, it's about you have to hold your tongue, right? That's what Forrest Whitaker's character does in this movie. He holds his tongue really well. He's in this very political setting.
Yeah.
And at one point in the movie, and when they're hiring him, they say, you know, are you a very political person? And he says, no, I'm not. And he says, that's good, because we don't like politics here in the White House.
Really?
And, yeah, but that's that's what the butler, he had to do. He had to go through and you know, just be this very neutral guy and help these presidents through some of their crises. You know, and as we said with JFK, you know, there was really big crisis there.
Oh yeah.
With Nixon, you know, he had to deal with that crisis. Of course, that was John Cusack. And so
Cusack plays Nixon?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
He does.
I just don't see it.
He does.
Yeah,
decent.
I don't see that either.
I'm not a crook.
I think his sister would be more of a Nixon than him.
I'm
John Cusack.
Yeah, right.
Cross her off the list of our guests in the future.
Oh, yeah. But no, I like her.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh,
especially okay. in In-N-Out, remember?
Double try.
She was hilarious.
She wanted to get married so badly. I felt bad for her.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. But, that's my commentary.
And yeah, so this is, again, Lee Daniels, the butler, is a big thumbs up. Very meaningful movie, very important movie. And I don't believe I said it earlier, but Kick-Ass 2 was a thumbs up as well.
So two thumbs up to Lee things up. And these both, I mean, obviously with Kick-Ass, you know how I feel about it. But even with this film, obviously more dramatic. And, you know, usually I'm a comedy guy. It sounds amazing. Not just when you said it there, but just looking at everything. So definitely another one I want to check out personally.
And a little bit later on, we will talk about Jobs. Of course, that's Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs.
A biography type of story.
Right. Saw the trailer in that. Looked very interesting.
And so before we run out of time in this hour, let's do another trivia question, okay? Mm-hmm. So what's our score, Dave?
The score is 21-14, Rattlers over the Soul.
All right.
No, it's a 2-0-0, I think. 2-2-0-0. Eric, you don't. We're zero.
I think
right?
I'm nil.
I'm nil.
You guys both have zero.
And you guys have two.
One.
Oh, you have one?
1-0-0. Well, you can give us two. We'd be more than happy.
Oh, you have only one? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we're still. Eric, we're still in the ballgame.
All right.
Okay,
so
cool.
Which of the following is a quote from Chloe Grace Moretz about Kick-Ass in response to criticism of her character, Hit Girl? Now listen carefully. These are all quotes. Which one is one that she actually said? A, if I ever uttered one word that I said in Kick-Ass, I would be grounded for years. I'd be stuck in my room until I was 20. I would never in a million years say that. I'm an average, everyday girl. B, violence and profanity is all around us. It is everywhere you look. To pretend like it doesn't exist is pure ignorance, and so everyone ought to just get a life and stop worrying about what a fictional character does and says in a fictional movie. Or C, Hit Girl is just plain awesome. I wish that I could be as cool as her. Who wouldn't?
A.
C.
A.
B. A.
All right, so we have
two A's.
Who said A's?
We're
you guys said
two
A's? That's
two
the right I answer.
Yeah, A.
A was the
I
right
said
answer.
A. We said A.
No, I said
A.
I said C.
I
all
said
right,
A.
So we said
A. Oh, we said A.
All right, so you have one point
Eric
now.
Say?
It's 2-1-1.
I said
zero.
B.
Oh. Zero.
So I'm still
Eric,
zero.
I thought you were going to make
one,
up
zero.
For last week.
I've tied Sebastian. Yep.
Well, anyway, Moretz has said that while filming, she could not bring herself to say the film's title out loud in interviews. This is for the original Kick-Ass. Instead, calling it the film in public and kick butt at home.
I'll say this. The language that she uses in the first one, some of the words she says are some of the words to describe the stuff we were talking about. The things going on, those voicemails. I'll let you
really?
On the break. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
so the little girl saying it, but it's funny
scenes,
though. It's the
information.
Movie. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So we'll continue to celebrate Kick-Ass 2 in our next hour. Of course, I said we will also talk about Jobs. We will have on our special guest, Kira, and then we will also have a very special surprise at the end of the show. We will have some news or false. So everyone has a chance to win.
Well, this is going to be great. So let's take a quick break, maybe a half break, because Adam Markowitz will be calling in from Orlando, Florida. Update us on Arena Bowl 26, where your Arizona Rattlers, I believe, still leading 21-14, I believe, over.
There's
no
been a touchdown by Philadelphia.
So it is 21-21?
I don't know if they got the extra point yet.
Okay, but we'll get an update.
They're doing it right now.
All right.
As we're going to break, if I have a second, I can still say, here goes a kick. They're throwing it out. Oh, it's going slow. Come on, stream. And he makes it 21-21.
Right. So 21-21. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.